Lord with me, let us exalt his name. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name. Who is like? Who is like the Lord and King? His glory and his fame, he's exalted above the heavens.
Praise will be my God.
From the top of my life.
us just do that right now in this place? Let's worship Him with a loud voice. Come on, begin to praise Him with your own words this morning. Oh, yes. I put my hope in You, Jesus. I belong to You, Jesus. I will worship You from the top of my lungs. I put my hope in You, Jesus. And I belong to You, Jesus. I will worship You from the top. From the top of my life. Hey, I put my hope in You, Jesus. And I belong to You, I belong Jesus, to You. I will worship You from the top of my life. One more time. I put my hope in You, Jesus. And I belong to You, Jesus. I will worship You. Come on, from the top of my life.
Church, we serve a God who's big. Hallelujah.
Bring it all to peace. The storm surrounding me, let it break. Oh, at Your name, still call the sea to still. The rage in me to still every way. Jesus, You make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus,
silences fear.
You silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, You make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus. Call these bones to live. Call these lungs to sing once again. name cannot be overcome. Yeah. Your name is alive, forever lifted high. Your name cannot be overcome. Yeah.
Sing your name.
Your name is alive, the shadows can't deny.
Serve a good God. If you believe that, I want you to praise Him in this place. Come on, lift Him up and begin to say, my God is good.
Oh. You are constant, true. Oh, my hope found in You. Always faithful to do what You promised. Through the dark, through the night, flows a river of light.
Is always good. God is always good. What I see on the mountain, I see in the valley, that God is
Feel the Lord in here today.
that he's good on the mountains, and he's good in the valleys. He's good in the middle. He's good no matter where you are. Can we just, as a whole church, can we just lift our hands and thank God that he is good? We're here to celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Whatever you came with, you can leave different. God has got good things for today. Amen. Amen. He is so good. He is so good. I felt the victory today in our worship. Amen. Amen. You go ahead and just hit about, well, don't hit. High five a couple people and say, God is good. And you may be seated. God is good. God is good. I'm believing for some great things today. Amen? Amen. It's going to be a good day. I've just been praying and believing that today will be a significant day in this church. Amen? I'm just believing it. I feel it in my spirit. If you are a visitor here today, we want to welcome you. Maybe this is your first Sunday, or you've been here for a few. We want you to know that we're glad that you are at Charleston Church. Will you let them know we're glad they're here? A little louder. Okay. If you're visiting and you haven't ever taken our contact card, that's in right in the seat in front of you. If you would just take that out. Oh, I thought you said something to me, honey. Sorry. And fill it out. And then during the offering, if you would just put that in. And we're so glad that you're here. Everybody needs a good church. Everybody needs a good church. Last week, I was telling Pastor that there were so many visitors here that I hadn't met. So we want to get to know you. We want to help you and bless you. And we're just glad that you're in the house. Amen. Dalton's got some people that are going to get some certificates this morning. And if they could come on up. If they could come on up. How many know what's happening tonight? At 5 o'clock in this wonderful church, we are going to have Better Together service. And it is going to be a great, great time. It's going to be different than our regular services. How many believe that God created marriages? Amen. Not to make you suffer. Really. It's God created it so we could just enjoy each other. And the Bible talks about iron sharpening iron. And we're just going to have a great time tonight. So if you're married, if you're not married, if you want to be married at some point, whatever. We just want you to come tonight. How many, you know, I was thinking this morning how I don't believe anybody that gets married says, I only want this to last 6 years. No, you want a commitment for life. And how many know through different times you just need a little bit of encouragement? And we're just believing for great things to happen tonight. We're so glad that people are giving their hearts to the Lord in this church, aren't we? Amen. And this is Dalton. Come on now. If you haven't met him, he volunteers here every week and works with the people that give their heart to the Lord. And we love him.
Darcy's my niece, and she says that she's my favorite niece. But I don't admit it, but she's up there pretty high. So. It's a privilege and an honor to work with the new Christians. We have lots of new Christians, praise God. Somebody asked me the other day, those people that come forward and accept Christ, do they really change? And we don't have everybody that we graduate from this program publicly receive their diplomas, but some we do. And there's a couple here this morning that will be an inspiration. I know they will. We have this 12-class program that we teach to all the new Christians that are interested, and we always have quite a large number in the program. We have wonderful instructors. I'm just one of many, but I've had the privilege of working with the new Christians for a long time, And I've had the privilege of knowing the Lord since I was a teenager. That's a long time ago. But you know what? Working with these new Christians, it's like having a new baby in the home. Everything is stimulated. Everything's exciting. And Robin, I want you to come first. Most of you don't know Robin. Her name is Robin McEgrin. I had only met Robin once. She lived at that time in a little town called Mattawamkeag, about 60 miles away. And somebody told her to call me. She called me one day. And I'm just going to interview her a little bit this morning. It was 1 year ago this Sunday, as a matter of fact, that she first came. And she's been on disability a long time, had her little house up there in Mattawamkeag. But her question to me is it okay if you kill yourself? And she had cancer, very severe cancer, 17 years ago. They overdid it with the chemo. They gave her too much chemo. And for 17 years ago, last Sunday, until last Sunday, it was 17 years, they had her on fentanyl. And if any of you know anything about that, a lot of people are dying from it today. She was on 200 milligrams of that. And it took 1 year to get her from 200 milligrams down to 100 milligrams. She has a special needs daughter. She had taken her daughter and put her in a home. She had taken her pets and got rid of them. And she was preparing. We won't get into all the details. But it frightened me. And in faith, I said, you've got to come down to our church, and I'll have some people pray for you. She said, I can't come to that church with all those people. I don't know anybody. And I said, I'll be at the front door, and my wife is behind the welcome center. We'll make you feel at home. She came. Altar call was given. The first arm went up was Robin. Yes. The thing that fascinates me about this story is that Jesus cares for everybody so much. At the end of the service, I saw Angel Daigle. I knew God had healed her and some other ladies, and I had them surround her and pray for Robin. They had no idea the seriousness of this matter. As a matter of fact, I talked to my doctor, who was a marvelous doctor, before she came, and I told him about this lady, and he said, you know, that's very serious. He says, whoever is her doctor, because they said in the state of Maine that they was going to reduce everybody by 25%. And she says, the pain is so bad, I cannot stand it. She said, the nerve pain all over my body, if they reduce me 25%, I can't survive. And that was why she was in. And my doctor said to me, the amount of fentanyl she's on, and I believe this is correct, is equivalent of 30 hydrocodone pills a day. He said, if you took that, you'd die immediately. He said it'll take at least a year to get her down, and it'll be a tremendous amount of work. So I want you to tell us what happened after you was prayed for. These were patches. She forgot to put them on that morning in the excitement, which had never happened before. She headed home fast to get her patches. What happened?
Wow. Wow. I had to be home by 1 o'clock, and my home is an hour from here. So I was speeding all the way, praying I wasn't going to get caught. I got through my porch door, and then I had to get into my living room door, and I was just hoofing it to get to my patches, because it's the first thing that was on my mind. And while I was, the best way to explain it was, in midair, as I was going, I was right between my living room and dining room when I was embraced by the Holy Spirit. Yes. And he doesn't mix words. It was simply, you don't need those patches anymore, and then gone. Well, I mean, that's never happened to me before, so naturally I was, you know, a little shocked. I cantered back to my couch, and thought about, wow, what just happened, you know, because you kind of like surrender when it's going on. And I said, I'm going to call Brother Dalton and tell him what happened. So I gave him a call, and of course, you know, I told him, and he's like, hee hee, I told you this would happen, because he was all excited. So that was it. I mean, I watched the clock because I was so nervous because the chemo fried my nerve endings and gave me pulsating reaction vigorously in every joint. I was so afraid that I was going to fall into that again if I didn't put that patch on. But the Holy Spirit said I didn't need them. But I was watching that clock from 1 o'clock in the afternoon to 1 o'clock in the morning. I was in no pain.
I've seen a lot of miracles, but that was a miracle. What did the pain clinic tell you if you stopped those abruptly? What did they tell you?
If I stopped it abruptly, I mean, you would die. You'd go into convulsions and you would not wake up.
And what did you say? She said, if I don't wake up, I don't wake up.
Oh, yeah.
And she called me the next morning. She said, I woke up and I have no pain. God bless you. You had the best year that you've had in a long time. She told me the other day, she said, I'm alive. She's alive. And she feels good about it. And she's in no pain. And we praise God. And you keep growing in the Lord. God bless you. Can you imagine for an old guy like me to hear these stories continuously? It's very stimulating. This young man, he's at Joe's house. And I'm going to let him tell the story. He doesn't need me to interview him. But I know that he had a severe drinking problem. Might not even be alive today. But what a testimony. He's the real deal. It was a year ago that I was at Joe's house, and we started these lessons with you. I did the first one.
Yeah, I remember that. tell them what God's done for you. Well, I guess, yeah, some of you guys know me, some of you don't. Really quickly, I just want to say, you know, my testimony. I was an alcoholic since 18. I joined the military right out of high school, and my ID got me into bars underage, so I just began to drink. Thank you. So, I just lived a really unmanageable lifestyle of an alcoholic. It was absolute chaos and a downward spiral, and I knew I needed something. So in 2013, I gave my heart to the Lord and started attending church. But I found church, but I didn't find Jesus. I was going to church on Sunday, and then sometimes even Sunday night, going out to a bar or places with my friends and doing the wrong things. So it brought me to the basically end of my ropes, and luckily God had planted a few godly connections in my life that were able to direct me to Pastor Vinny in Joe's house in this church. And I moved in there about a year and 4 months ago now. And since then, I've just had blessing after blessing after blessing that I can't even describe to you guys. You know, not only have I been sober the entire time I've been in the house, but God's given me amazing, you know, church staff members that can build me up, amazing people from the Elevate service or Faith School that can help build me up. It's been absolutely insane. The only thing I really want to say is that if you're new to church at all, I highly recommend these classes. And even if you are a believer coming into this church new, the classes are exceptional. There was a class in there about spiritual gifts that I had no clue about, and I don't know if he's here right now, but that was an amazing class. Even the more simpler ones about just who Jesus was such a great reminder to have inside of your heart what he really did for us. And I think we kind of forget that as Christians. But the easiest way to describe what this church will do for people is in James 4:8. If you draw near to the Lord will draw near to you. This church gives you the tools to have that personal relationship with Jesus that I didn't get from another church. And without it, I don't think I'd be where I'm at today. So, oh, yeah. Okay, so this is another blessing. So I have been really struggling with work lately. Went from one job to another where they both promised me hours and they cut me down to 15 and 20 respectively. That's not enough to make a living, especially at minimum wage. So, you know, I really was praying on it, and it was actually shortly after the prayer and fasting time where the Lord told me that I was way too comfortable. and I needed to kind of get out there a little bit. So I started searching for jobs and took some advice from some staff members. And I applied for just an entry-level cashier job. And in the middle of the interview, out of complete nowhere, they offered me a management position. So, yeah, God just decided to drop that on me. So I'm really excited to see what I can do with that.
This young man would have just been another statistic. But Jesus got involved. Praise God. There's your diploma, Dakota. We're proud of you. God bless you.
Amen. Aren't you thankful for the miracles that he's doing in this house? We're so thankful. Ushers, if you want to get ready for our time to give, I just wanted to tell you just a couple things that are going on. Coming up on March 7th, our first Wednesday. How many in the middle of the week just need a little bit more? I want you to just plan, put it in your calendar. March 7th is our first Wednesday. We're having services the first Wednesday of the month. And it last time, it was amazing. We're believing for many great things to happen. And then on March 11th, his and her service, we're going to be split up. We're going to have the men in the fellowship hall, the women in here. And we're just going to believe the Lord to just touch every man and every lady. Amen? It's going to be a great, great service. And I'm so excited about it. And on March 13th, the seniors are going to have their meeting in the fellowship hall. And it's going to be good. Amen? Amen. We're just so thankful for your faithfulness. We're so thankful for your faithfulness. This pastor in Texas had a young man, a young friend, when they started the church, they made a covenant together. They were friends that no matter what, that his friend was going to tithe. He was a businessman, best friends with the pastor. They started this church and he always tithed. And he always supported the church. And then it got to the place that he was making some real money. The Lord was really blessing him because, you know, when you do what God says, the Lord blesses your finances, doesn't he, Dakota? Amen. He does. He blesses them. So the gentleman came into the office and said, Pastor, can I speak to you? I know that we made this covenant. I know that I said, I'm going to tithe no matter what it is. I'm going to give. And we're going to do something for this community. But my business is just booming. And I just don't know if I can actually write a check for that amount, Pastor. And I just want to know if we'll still be friends if I don't keep that covenant. Pastor, just get on the floor. And if you come to us, we won't do this. And we don't, you know, whatever. He got on the floor and just raised his hand and prayed. Silently. And he said, Pastor, what are you doing? You going to pray out loud? Pastor. And he's like, I'm just asking the Lord to bless your finances, maybe to even decrease them so you'll be willing to tithe. And I just want you to know, I'm not praying the Lord will decrease your business. I'm believing the Lord will just continue to bless your business. You know, we are continually able to do things because you're faithful. And when you continue to be faithful, I personally know that he'll continue to be faithful to you every time. Every time. We heard a testimony this last Sunday night. She told me that during prayer fasting, she had a certain need and she was praying. And after the fast, the Lord met that financial need. God still cares about our finances. Amen? Amen. So let's just pray and ask the Lord to bless the remainder of this service is everything that we do with this offering. God, we just thank you that you are so good and you're so faithful. I just thank you, Lord, that this church and the families in this church are so giving and so faithful. Lord, and you will bless them because they've blessed your church. You'll bless their family. You'll bless their business. You'll bless their health. We just thank you that you're a God of blessings. And I pray, Lord, maybe there's somebody here that does need a different job. I pray, Lord, for you to open that door. I pray in the name of Jesus that you continue to help every person here in their finances. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
God bless you as you give today. Is everybody feeling good? Well, you're all looking good. You're welcome. It's a beautiful day. Can't wait to see you tonight as you're giving. Just mention again, come tonight, because I think after the service we're having cookies and hot chocolate. When is it God's will for you to have cookies and hot chocolate? All the time. And all the time God is good. Amen. So everybody comes tonight, 5 o'clock. It's just a different service, but it's going to be powerful. It's worship, it's anointed, it's inspiring, it's informative, it's fun, but it's important. It's important. And your marriage is worth giving a Sunday night to, right? Your future spouse will thank you that you went to church on Sunday night, got some help on how to do it right. While you're giving, I want to spend a little time praying with you today. We want to pray for some very special people in our church. Marie Burpee had a stroke this week, and she's at Eastern Maine Medical. I think she's gone to the nursing home now. Well, we want to pray for her. Carolyn Preble is very ill. We want to pray for Carolyn that God will touch her. Virgil Burgoyne needs a touch in his body desperately today. How many of you know somebody today that could use a healing, a physical healing? How many of you need a physical healing? Yeah? I want us to, I think almost everybody's given. Let's stand. Some of you can give standing. You can do two things at once. Praise God. There's a lot of things that happen on these facilities. And I would love to have your attention to make this moment most impacting. But what we're doing right now is what God really wants to happen. We love to sing, we love to preach, we love to hear testimonies, but what God loves is prayer. We love to worship because we love His presence, we love to preach it because it helps us, we love testimonies, it encourages us, but God loves it when people pray. And I'm going to ask you, thank you, I'm glad that we've done something that helps us engage with God, but would you do something that would please God more than anything else in this service today? Would you just talk to God on behalf of these precious people, Carolyn, Marie, Virgil, the people that are around you, your own family member. And the Bible says that my house will be a house of prayer and it'll be a place of joy. That means we lift our head up, we open our voice and we say, I thank you, God, you're bigger than cancer. I thank you, God, you heal arthritis. I thank you, God, you can restore damaged hearts. Come on, somebody. I thank you, Lord, that you can do what doctor said cannot be done. Look at what Matt Ward is saying to you. The scripture says you have not because you ask not. Doesn't say you have not because you think not, because some of us do too much thinking and not enough praying. You have not because you ask not. How many want to ask some today? Amen. The Father wants you to ask. Would you lift your voice with me right now and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we glorify you today. I thank you, Father, that we do not serve you a stoic being off in some distant land or in some ivory tower. But God, you are Emmanuel, God, with us today. And of all the things that we can get better at, there's nothing more impacting than to improve our ability to pray. So God, we come before you humbly and we thank you that you are a mighty God. There is no disease stronger than the power of your name today. We thank you that when you died, went to the grave and overcame death, you've been given a name that we could call on. That in the midst of cancer, diabetes, disease, arthritis, damage to the mind, damage to the body, in Jesus' name we believe healing belongs to the children of God. Hallelujah! And by your stripes, when you were beaten, when you were bruised, when you were humiliated, when you were attacked, you had us on your mind. You had Marie on your mind. You had Carolyn on your mind. You had somebody in this building on your mind. And I speak to disease and sickness today. Be gone. And I pray that God Almighty, you be glorified by healing right now. I'm not asking you to heal next week. I'm not asking you to heal tonight. Father, I ask you right now in your presence that you'll shake this place with your unmistakable power that has done so many wonderful things. But God, we've not yet seen what you can do. So we give you glory in advance that you have heard the prayer of people in agreement. I think you ought to help me praise him right now. That's part of prayer. Begin to thank him. Begin to thank him. Thank him. Thank him. With your voice, thank him, would you please? The Bible says, shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Come on, begin to thank him. Your words have power. Your clap doesn't, but your words have power. I thank you, Lord. Depression breaks in the name of Jesus Christ. Fear's gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Lives are touched in the name of Jesus Christ. Your marriage will come back together. Your children will serve God. Your son will get off drugs. Come on, somebody. God can do absolutely anything to people who will have faith in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank him. Thank him. He's here today. He's here. Come on. He's in this building today. He's in your situation. Begin to praise him like he is. I tell you, there's nothing too hard for God. Sing it now.
Look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
You ought to thank you for his presence.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles.
Yeah.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight. This is how I fight.
Hallelujah.
My
well, this
is how I fight my battles.
Yes, it is, Lord.
This is how I win my battles. Come on.
This is how I win my battles.
I don't know
battles.
How you do it, but I do it by worship.
This is how I win my battles.
You might grind, but I worship.
This is how I win my battles.
Come on.
This is how I win my battles.
Oh, hallelujah. This is how I win my
battles. Hey, hallelujah. Thank God.
This is how I win my battles.
This is how I win my battles.
Hey, Jesus will win your battles. Come on,
Jesus.
Jesus will win your battle.
Come on, lift him up.
Jesus will win your battles.
Jesus will win your battles.
Jesus will win your battles.
It may look like I'm surrounded.
Jesus will win.
Oh, he's won your battle.
Yeah.
Jesus has won your battle. Jesus said,
yeah. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Come on now.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
It may look like I'm surrounded.
Come on, give him a shout of praise for his presence, would you? Thank God. Would you open your Bibles with me? Open your Bibles with me, the book of Deuteronomy. We're praying for our nation today. We're praying for the people in the region of Parkland, Florida. A good friend of mine, Bishop Thomas, pastors a church 5 minutes from that high school. And God is raising up churches in that area of Florida to reach and minister to the hurting community. Because of the privilege I have to just be in communication, really, but to just communicate, I find it interesting that any one of these shootings, and I'll make more comment about it later, but any one of these things that have happened, especially even in the streets and the protests, I'm aware of churches and moves of God that are taking place in the very same regions that these things happen. So that tells me it's not just a legal issue. And it's not just a mental health issue. That there is a spiritual component to everything that's going on in this nation today. I believe God's going to do something powerful in it in the name of Jesus. And just before I read, I want to just publicly thank our security team for their ministry. I say it's a ministry in this church. That's good. I think you ought to thank them. And you're like, I don't know what you're thinking. You're like, well, who are they? That's the point. This is not a gun-free zone. I'm just going to say that right out loud. This is not a gun-free zone. And if you get by the security, there'll be a grandmother armed. So if you're going to take your chances, it's probably not good here. And I'm not saying that to be brash. We're not. This isn't the Wild West. We're civilized and intellectual. But I'm just saying that we're not foolish either. And that this is a safe place. And if you ever do see anything that is of concern, I'm tired of people saying, well, I saw something, but I didn't say anything. If you see something, say something. And not just in church, but where you live. Come on, let's stop letting the idiots close our mouths. Let's speak up, say, that ain't right. We still have some freedoms, and we'll lose them if we don't use them. And if you see something around here that ain't right, it ain't right. That is not correct. See one of the hospitality team. See Vinny. No, see somebody that looks like they can handle it. But look for somebody in authority. You know who the people are in authority. And if it's nothing, it's nothing. But if it's something, we're going to be on it. Okay? All right. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I'm so excited about what I have to share with you today. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Because I want to talk about the voice of God. And I'm a little ticked off. I try to teach preachers to leave your emotions before you come to the platform. But I've got a few I'm fending off. But I'm disturbed at all that's going on in our nation, that we have a vice president that's tormented because he doesn't go to rooms alone with another woman that's not his wife, and that he's being criticized for hearing the voice of God. If we've ever needed somebody who will not be in the wrong place at the wrong time and needs to hear the voice of God, it's now. So I'm going to spend the next few weeks talking about the voice of God. And today I want to talk to you on this topic, talk me out of this. I'll talk to you, messages, talk me through this, talk me over this, talk me about this, talk to me about this, talk to me in my sleep. How many know God can talk to you in your sleep? Right. Yeah, not during service. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1 for our reading, just that first sentence, then you can be seated. I'm going to get to it if you don't mind. And now Israel, listen carefully to these decrees and regulations that I'm about to teach you. Jesus, speak to us today in your name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I meant to mention thank you to the security team that was here for all day of training yesterday. Steve Hansen, thank you for directing that. And just like that and any other ministry, we're always striving to be more effective. Thank you so much. The voice of God. So you heard this today, Robin was on a medicine for 17 years that was killing her. And when she went home after a service, the Holy Spirit spoke to her and says, you don't have to do that anymore. How many know the voice of God can save your life? Dakota came up here and talked about how he needed employment and how he'd been overcoming so many things. And the voice of God spoke to him and said, you're settling. You need to go further. And he went in for an interview at this level and he came out hired at this level. I'm telling you, you need to hear the voice of God. The voice of God is powerful. Deuteronomy chapter 4, let's just walk through this because I just want to talk to you because God loves to find you in a locked place in life and talk you out of it. Somebody shout deliverance. I feel very strongly that this church's greatest days are not sometime in the future, they're right now. And the reason that they're great and the reason that I'm more excited about the church than ever, not just our church, but every church that proclaims Christ, is that really the specialty is that lives get changed. Not interested in attendance, we're interested in change. And one aspect of change that's got to be emphasized in this church is deliverance. I think there's wonderful teachings on the renewal of the mind, but you can have your mind renewed and the devil have a heyday in your home. You need deliverance. There is a devil out there that loves to bind people up with any tool he can and renew your mind all day you want, but a renewed mind is not authoritative over the devil. Hello? I don't care how clear-headed you are, how intellectual you are, your smart thoughts will never have power over the enemy because spiritual issues are authoritative issues. And you need an authority greater than your thoughts, and the authority is in the name of Jesus Christ. And let me just speak to you as the Holy Spirit speaks to me. Whatever area, I don't care if it's drugs, I don't care if it's lust, I don't care if it's greed, I don't care if it's fear, bitterness, religion, worry, anger, regret, whatever has you locked today, the message that I've got to share with you today is that God has a way of getting to you right where you are and talking you out of that mess. Look what God says to Israel and he says to Charleston Church today. Listen carefully to the decrees and regulations I'm about to teach you. Obey them so that you may live, so you may enter and occupy the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. Look at this. Observe this. Pay attention. Verse 2. Do not add to or subtract from these commands that I'm giving you. Just obey the commands that the Lord your God has given to you. Whenever God speaks, here are some aspects. Ready? If you're at cchurch11a.info, you'll get these notes. They're on your phone, and you can actually now take notes and save them for later. But look at what God is saying. Whenever God speaks to you, it's always about your future. This is why people who are stuck in the past do not hear what God is saying now. Because the only thing that God has to say to you about your past is what He went to the cross for. Well, what about this? What about this? I'll tell you what about it. The cross. That's what Jesus has to say to your past. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. I got hurt back then. Yeah, but Jesus went to the cross so that you can get healed from what you went through back then. And you must desperately strive to leave the past into the hands of God, because what He has to say to you is about tomorrow. But if all you can think about is the past, you'll never hear what He's saying about tomorrow. And you'll never get free from what you're in until you hear the voice of God. Amen. Let me say this to you, and it sounds weird, but when God speaks to you, He's reminiscing. One more time. Whenever God speaks to you, it's just God reminiscing about something He's already seen. I hate going to the movies with my wife. Because within the first 3 minutes, she's saying, "What does that mean? And who is that? And what's going on?" I'm like, "I came in here with you. At this point, I've experienced all that you've experienced. The director did not call me. I didn't write this movie." The other part of people that are difficult to watch shows or movies or read books with is somebody who's already seen it. Right? Because they'll elbow you. Hey, watch this part. And you're like... Or they're just like... They're just... And you don't have that experience to go through it the first time. I'm going to tell you something today. God is not locked. Today's not the first time He's ever seen today. I feel like preaching. Hallelujah. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're bound up with, whatever you're carrying, this is nothing just ever occurred to God. He's already seen this moment. In fact, He's already gone to the end of your life. And at the end of your life, He shouts backwards and says, "Hey, you on February the 25th, hear my voice, because I've already been where you're going. And if you'll hear what I'm saying, where you're going, you'll be ready for it." "Well, you know, God told me that your past is all this." Shut up. I mean, in Jesus' name. That's not prophecy. That's not prophetic, that's pathetic. That's pretty good right there. You know, for a backwoods swamp preacher, that was pretty smooth. That's not prophetic, that's pathetic. Do not get caught up in yay, yay, thou, and ha, ha, here, therefore, patheticness. It is, the word of the Lord is to say, if you want to know about your future, I've already been there. I think somebody should take comfort today that He's the God of yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's not constrained to the clock or the calendar. He's not trying to keep up His day planner. He's already been down. They that labor in vain, unless the Lord builds a house, they that labor in vain. God already knows about, please hear what I'm telling you. God already knows about your tomorrow. And the greatest asset you can ever have in life is to be connected to the God who knows to tell you what to do today so that you're ready for tomorrow. How many glad you got a tomorrow? How many glad this is not the end? This is not there, all there is. And let God speak to you about your future. Don't modify God's voice. Look, don't add or subtract to it. Don't let your heart condition modify what God is saying. But let your heart just say, "Lord, whatever you want to say to me, I will hear it." Let me move on. Verse 3. Just a Bible study today. Is it okay if we have one? "You saw for yourself what the Lord did at Baal Peor." Now God is speaking to Israel about how He had delivered them. It's deliverance. "There the Lord your God destroyed everyone who worshiped Baal, the god of peril." Let me just say something to you today. There's a lot of gods being worshiped today, but none of them have a voice like God's. But, I love this, verse 4. But all of you who were faithful to the Lord, your God, are still alive today, every one of them. Quitting is justified when you have nothing to hold on to. One more time. Quitting is justified when you have nothing to hold on to. I'm not in bewilderment why some people quit. I know why they quit. They stop listening for the voice of God. And when you stop listening for the voice of God, you no longer have anything to hold on to. It's a dangerous road when you get distance between you and your Maker. But whenever God speaks clearly, He gives you something to hold on definitely. And what He's saying here is, if you will hold on to what God says, you will live. I don't know how many of you have panicked this week. I don't know how many of you felt overwhelmed this week. I don't know how many of you saw no way out of this week. But I am telling you this. Nobody holds on to the promises of God and loses. Everybody who holds on to the promises of God is grateful that they did. And I want to tell a young man today that you're not sure about your future and it's uncertain to you how things are going to hand out. And honestly, you've not had many examples, but I'm going to tell you today, if you'll get yourself totally engaged with the voice of God, He will speak to you. And what other young men forfeit by quitting in those younger years, you will not forfeit. You will experience because you've got something to hold on to, and that's the Lord Himself, and He'll take you through to whatever He put you on the planet for. Verse 5. Look now, I teach you these decrees and regulations, just as the Lord my God commanded me. This is Moses speaking to the people. That you may obey them in the land that you're about to enter and occupy. I'm going to read that again. Are you ready? Look at this. Come on. Look, I now teach you these decrees and regulations. I'm going to teach you some stuff, he's saying. I'm going to teach you the stuff that God taught me. Why? So that you may obey them in the land that you're about to enter and occupy. There's too many people waiting to get to where God wants them to start obeying Him. Well, when I get married, I'll do things right. Or when we get married, we'll do things right. Come on. Well, when I graduate from high school, I'm going to start doing things right. Or when my kids get out of the house, I'll start doing things right. Or when my kids get into high school, I'll start doing things right. Or come on, when I get to retirement, I'll start doing things that I should start doing. Or come on, somebody, when I get through this job situation, or when I can finally change my location, I'll start doing things right. But please, please, ladies and gentlemen, what God is saying is, how many understand what I said when God says, I already know where you're going? God already knows what your kids are going to do. God already knows what your children are destined for. God already knows what your grandchildren ought to do. You're frustrated because you're locked in the now, but God is happy because He sees the future. Please hear what I'm going to tell you. Listen to me. I just feel like speaking to young adults today, especially young single people. God knows the person that you're going to marry. And what He's trying to tell you now is how to get yourself ready so that when you come across them, you don't scare them. What He's saying, now if you hear what I'm telling you, this ought to rock you. And if you don't care, then why should I? That was honest. That was rather honest. Because I preach all the time, people are like, okay. So let me just talk to the people who do. And I think that's 99.9% of the people here. I guess because I don't know everybody. But your future... to enjoy it. And if you can't be faithful in where you are now, God's a good businessman. God's a good businessman. He's going to sit situations over here. He's going to see how you handle it now before He, because He's not going to invest something in us now that we're going to waste tomorrow. So please let me encourage somebody. You've got to hear the voice of God. Because the life that He has destined for you tomorrow will require some maturity today. If you can't handle single life, trust me, you cannot handle married life. Does that sound wrong? Yes. But it's true. It's true. People who are successfully single are destined to be successfully married. People that are successful in serving are destined to be successful in leading. And today I feel like encouraging somebody, because there are some behaviors that God wants you to change. There are some behaviors that need to be modified. Not so that He loves you. There are some behaviors that need to be modified because of where God's taking you. He that is faithful in little will be given privilege to be involved in much. And today I need to tell somebody to not get comfortable. I need to tell a dad, I need to tell a mom, don't get comfortable. I need to tell somebody who's just working and grinding and say, oh, it's the same old thing. I'm just telling you, God has a different plan for your life than what's going on right now. And if you will allow Him to mature you, we call it holiness. We call it sanctification. I don't care what you call it, but if you'll allow God to change the way you behave, if you'll allow God to help you to bring discipline into your life, if you'll allow God to bring some change in your life, if you'll allow God to change your schedule. We want God to do everything for us, but we don't want to change our schedule. And God is saying, you need to change your schedule, because the things I'm going to do for you are going to require greater humility, greater maturity, greater sanctification, greater consecration. But if you will give your life to me, I will give my blessings to you. It is a code of conduct. Hallelujah. I'm going to do some things that other people think are crazy. I'm going to do some things that other people are excessive, think they are excessive. I'm going to do some things that I know everybody else does, but I don't do. Why? Because I got a high calling and I don't want to miss an ounce of it. Verse 5, verse 6. You know, I noticed I got a deeper voice with this pulpit. Have you noticed that? My voice has gone deeper with this manly pulpit. Hallelujah. There's a shotgun in here. Oh, man, just kidding. Relax, relax, relax. Good grief. Verse 6. Obey them completely and you will display your wisdom and intelligence. Look at your neighbor and say, you look so smart. Look at me. The voice of God is not a mental illness. The voice of God is divine intelligence. Woo. You didn't need to hear it, but it sure felt good to say it. Some of the smartest people I know hear the voice of God. Don't let the crazy people tell you that hearing the voice of God is crazy. With a nation that's flipped upside down, did not the Bible say that there'd come a day that they would call right wrong and call wrong right? They hate the preaching of the cross because it's foolishness unto man, but unto God it is the intelligence of heaven. I've never seen anything more brilliant than the cross of Christ. I've never been involved with anything so intelligent than faith. Come on, somebody. I'm glad I'm connected to the wisdom of the ages. Hallelujah for His great divine intellect. He can take people who've had no natural education and can give them divine wisdom and inspiration and ideas. Why? Because God gets glorified out of people who say it was not by might nor by power, but it is by the divine spirit of the living God. Maybe you're here today and you feel undervalued, uneducated, you don't feel equipped to do what you need to do. But I'm going to tell you, the God of the heavens and the universe is in your life, and He can tell you things that Harvard could never tell you. I love the outdoors. And I got to snowshoe a little bit yesterday, and I just walking through the woods, I'm like, God, you are so brilliant. The way you do this is profound. And Lord, if you can make all these galaxies exist and function properly, Lord, what is it that I could learn from you? Obey God in His wisdom. And when they hear all these decrees, they'll exclaim, how wise and prudent the people are of this great nation. May God speak to you and make your family look at you and say, man, I know where you came from, and there must be a God that's in your life. That sounded rude, but how many are there? How many say, God's blessed me bigger than I'm capable of producing on myself? Okay, so don't be so sensitive. Verse 7. For what great nation has God near to them as the Lord has God near to us whenever we call on Him? What a great nation has decrees and regulations as righteous and as fair as the body of His instructions that I'm giving you today. In other words, they're saying, the nations are looking at Israel and they're saying, you know, what is happening there is uncommon. God is near to those people. Please hear what I'm preaching today. This is not fine communication, but it's a wonderful truth. I want to live in the nearness of God. I want to live like God is not far away and He's not waiting on Sunday. I want God to know He can walk with me on Tuesday afternoon. When I hear the voice of God, it reminds me that God's not four galaxies away, but God is just one breath away. The nearness of God. The nearness of God. It comes through a word that we've lost. It's called devotion. And there are popular preachers that are actually creating doctrine to tell us that we can avoid it. But I would suggest to you today, we still need devotion. Time, if this is the only meal you get spiritually throughout the week, it's no wonder the week is a challenge to you. You need to spend time daily with God alone. You and God and an open Bible and a phone that's shut off. Put your phone on airplane mode or stick it in the freezer. Whatever it takes, and spend some time, because you will not get God's voice directionally until you hear His voice devotionally. One more time for this side. You got it. I believe you will. You cannot hear God's voice directionally until you're acquainted with His voice devotionally. You won't know what to do at your place of work publicly until you've gotten familiar with His voice privately. And I would suggest to you, all this week, God has just been, I've been dealing with a few situations, and those moments of prayer that I had before I got into those totally changed the outcome of it. And I've just put such a value in this, a renewed value in my life, to tell you that 3 or 4 days without talking to God makes you a dangerous person. 3 or 4 days without God makes me a dangerous person. I take a hit. My flesh rises. My attitude stinks. My words are callous. But if I can get with God, whether it's 15 minutes or an hour and 15 minutes, and I can just let God work me over, and I can let Him fine-tune change the spark plugs and switch the oil and rotate the tires and check my timing chain. If I can do that, I can come out running hard, even if I'm going through some tough times. Come on, somebody. We've got to value getting alone with God. We got to get alone, or we lose the reality of His nearness. Verse 8. I just got way too much preaching to do. And what great nation has decrees and regulations and righteousness as the fair as His body of instructions that I'm giving you today? Okay, verse 9, watch this. But watch out, be careful never to forget what you yourself have seen. Somebody say, don't forget. Do not let these memories escape your mind as long as you live. Don't let the instructions God gave you last week become faded. My wife and I were at a service Friday night, and a man prophesied over me. I walked right back and I wrote what God said to me through that man right in my book. Because I don't want to forget. Be sure to pass them on to your children and your grandchildren. Of all the school shootings, none of them have happened by a girl. Okay? If there is one, I'm not aware of it. I'm not Fox News and CNN wrapped up in one. But I'm not aware of one school shooting where it's taken place by a girl. And I'm not aware of one school shooting that took place by a boy that had a father that was totally involved in his life. Ladies and gentlemen, the shootings that are taking place should be a wake-up call for America to come back to Christ and to come back to the Word and come back to do things the way God said they ought to be. America needs a revival. America needs an outpouring. And it will not start in the government. Trust me. It will start in the church. And when the church hears the voice of God and the government hears what God is saying, God gave us a precious man in Billy Graham from Johnson and Truman right up until modern day. A man who could speak. My friends, I don't believe God's going to raise up one more man. I don't believe that. I believe that God's going to raise up one more church. And the church is going to have a voice, and the church is going to have power, and the church is going to have influence in America again. We've got to hear the voice of God for our own selves, and we've got to be able to say to our children, this is what God said to us. And this is, God will give you instructions that can change the trajectory of your family for four generations. God could say something to you today that could change, if the Lord tarries, your great-grandchildren's existence. That's what he's saying. If you don't let the promises fade from your heart. Let's move down, whoever's back there, to verse 32, okay? This is the part I'm excited about. I've been fairly excited, could you tell already, but... Now search all history from the time God created people on the earth until now. And search from one end of the heavens to the other. And has anything this great ever been seen or heard before? Travel around from town to town in Maine and show me towns of 1,000. Have you ever seen anything like this before? Did I lose you there? You talk government, people just go, just... like you've had 6 days of it, you want a break, I'm sorry. How many of you have ever seen any God do anything like this in a town this small in the state of Maine? How many have ever seen it? Have you ever seen anything like this? See, some of you obviously don't get out much. This doesn't happen everywhere. It's obvious you don't leave Penobscot County as often as you ought to. You think there's churches like this in every town. No, there's no church like this in any town this size. I'm not sure there's a church like this in any part of the state of Maine. I'm just telling you why. It's not because we're cool or better looking, though we are both. I'm going to tell you this. It's the voice of God. Come on, somebody. The voice of God can do something great. All to His glory. But that's not the good part. Verse 33. Has any nation ever heard the voice of God speaking from the fire as you did and survived? Verse 34. Has any other God dared take a nation for himself out of another nation? By trials, signs, wonders, war, strong hand, powerful arm, and terrifying acts? Wait a minute. Wait, what? Woo, hey. He does not say that the nation came out and then God spoke to them. He said God spoke to them while they were in trouble. Billy Graham, when he was 16, he says was sowing his oats. You young people have no idea what that means, but he was living like a godless person. At the age of 16, he saw a tent meeting. I think Mordecai Ham was preaching it. I'm not sure. Mordecai Ham? And they were just carousing, just doing what young guys without God do. And they saw the tent and they looked in. They said, "That's full. We're not going." And a big old usher got a hold of him, put his arms around him. He says, "No, boys, come with me." They had no intention to get saved. Billy Graham had no intention to get saved. But that night, Mordecai Ham preached the gospel. And Billy Sunday heard the gospel when he didn't want to hear it. And got saved. And 99 years later, they're going to shut down the Capitol so that they can put his body. The smartest thing that's happened in Washington, D.C. this year. They're going to shut down business and put his casket in the rotunda of the Capitol. That man, who's been voted the most popular man over 60 times, God found him in a position that he wasn't looking for God. See, God will speak to you when you've put something between you and him. Can I take my time?
Yes.
Because the Bible says you have to get out at noon. You didn't know that? But I'd like to have can I go into overtime a little bit? It'd be worth it? No, okay. Well, I was going to anyway. But that's encouragement. You know I live on it. You know, God, look at me. Somebody needs to hear it, because you think you've put barrier between you and God, and you're safe. You ain't safe. Some of you are just kind of half backslidden, and you think you've put enough distance between you and God. You're close enough to hear him, but not so close that as you could be. And now things have got you trapped. You know, God will take the thing that you put between him and you, and he'll use it to speak to you. Trials, signs, wonders, war. He didn't cause any of those, but he takes those things. Isn't God good? I'm not saying he'll make you sick, but he'll take sickness and speak through it. I'm not saying he'll make you addicted, but he'll take addiction and speak to you through it. Why? Because he's good. You know, Shrek isn't the first one to hear a donkey talk. Balaam would not listen to God, so God said, I'll take that donkey and I'll talk to him. Balaam! Peter wouldn't listen to the voice of God, so God took a rooster and made it talk. He said, if you won't praise me, I'll make the rocks worship me. God has a way of getting in something that you think God's not in. Because you don't know where I'm going. You have no idea how important it is that you hear what I'm about to say. I know a young man that grew up in the church that he got involved in drugs and alcohol and said, I'll never do this. I'll never do that. I'll never get into harder drugs. And that young man got into harder drugs. And he's running from God. One night they put acid in his whatever he was consuming, and he went on a trip. If you don't know what I mean, I don't mean he packed his bag. I mean a psychosis trip in his mind. And in the middle of that acid trip, he can't even describe to you really, because it's so terrifying. All he can say is that while he was tripping, God got inside of his trip and went. And scared the backslider out of him. And a couple weeks later, that boy found himself in that end of the altar. That boy was me. I was running so far from God. And I thought, there's no way that he will ever speak to me, because I thought God was cruel and that God was mad at me and he wanted nothing to do with me. But all of a sudden, God said, you want to put drugs between you and I? That's all right. I can get in your trip. And he got in my trip and he began to shake the daylights out of me. And I was never the same. I said, I got to get right with God. I'm just telling you, if God would speak to a drug-induced kid and talk me out of that, then he can talk to you in your fear. He can talk to you in your depression. He can talk to you in your loneliness. He can talk to you in your sin. He's not afraid of you. He's going to get in that thing. Come on. He'll talk to you in divorce. He'll talk to you in molestation. He'll talk to you in abuse. He'll talk to you in disappointment. Is there anybody that was so low, but God went lower and he pulled you up out of that thing? The doctor said cancer, and you're like, I don't know if I can hear God. You're going to hear him like you never heard him before. The lawyer said divorce. You're like, oh, I don't think God can use me anymore. Wrong. Somebody told you the wrong thing. God can get into, God doesn't cause it, but God will get in it and talk you out of it. Move that quick. God will start making his way. He'll start walking through some stuff. He'll see some obstacles. Hang tight, buddy. I'm coming your way. Hey, buddy. I'm so glad to see you today. I love you. I love you. I could tell stories about you, but I love you. Good stories. There's a man of God right here. I wouldn't have known it till I came to you. Praise God. His t-shirt says Jesus would have rode a Harley. I can't prove it, but I think you're right. But he'll come over some stuff because he's got somebody in mind. Oh, there's a dog. Well, hello. Holy cow. There's a dog. Okay, you never know. I need to get out more often. There's like a whole nother world out here I've never experienced. That's okay. He's nervous. How many of you know God, when he left heaven, had to go through some stuff? He came a long way, didn't he?
Yep.
So you think you got to get up some ivory tower. You want to move that coat? But he don't have to. Thank you, buddy. Thanks for not thinking I have any balance. How are you? Are you new here? I've never saw you are. Oh, he says you've been here for 2 weeks.
A few weeks.
Hey, buddy, what's your name?
Anthony.
Hi, Anthony. I don't do this every week, but it is kind of fun. You should try it. He'll come through a lot of stuff. Come on, somebody. He'll come through disappointment. He'll come through heartache. He'll come through the actions of others. And he'll walk down and he'll say, wait a minute. Well, I ain't done yet. And he'll walk over here. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Let's hope this ends soon. And he'll pick you up. Yeah, I'm trying to pick you up. You couldn't tell. I should have sent you the notes. And he'll walk you this way. Or actually, you can come back with me over the seats if you want.
No,
okay. Isn't that good that God won't make you go through what he went through to come get you? Come on. He'll walk through a lot of junk, Ron. He'll walk through a lot of disappointment. But when he brings you out, don't expect him to bring you out through the disappointment. He's already made the way for you to get out. And it's going to be grace. And it's going to be mercy. And he's going to say, this ain't too hard. This is too hard for you. But this isn't too hard for me. He has a way of getting you where you're at to get you where he wants you to be so that you can declare the glory of the Lord and say, it was not me. It was God who did that for me. God did it. I said, God did it. I said, God did it. God did it. Not you, not me. God did it. Woo-wee. God walked all the way down through some stuff to get a hold of Larry's life. You're a good man. Larry's your brother. I was just prophesying about Larry. Now let me speak to Joey. It's a double blessing. He's like, Josh. What's your name?
Joey.
I went to school with Joey when we were in elementary school. And nobody would have known that Matt Ward or Joey would ever be on the same platform, serving the same God, bringing our kids up in the same church. Praise God. And Joey, God brought me you for a reason. I was walking saying, Lord, who do you want me to talk to? God told me to come to you and tell you he knows how to get right where you are in what you, I can't think of your wife's name.
Brandy.
Just one. Brandy, Joey. God's not waiting for you to get to a different situation in life to talk to you. God's talking to you right now. Just let him talk to you right now. I don't know what needs to change. But the Holy Spirit had me come preach, maybe for you, to tell you, you just listen to God's voice and he'll talk you out of it. All right? I love you. You're a good man. Come on, let Joey and Brandy know we love them. How many of you have that testimony that you were far from God, but God walked through a lot of stuff and got a hold of you? Then let me, this is what God wants me to say to you, and I'm done. Then what makes you think that he won't talk to you now? As much hurt, and the kids aren't doing right, and your body doesn't feel good, but if he did all that when you weren't trying to find him, how much more does God want to help you right now, Gail? Let's lift our hands and thank God. I'll pray. then you sing. Lord, we lift our hands like antennas to heaven. All we need you to do is speak to us. Speak to some parent. Speak to some grandchild. Speak to a young adult. Speak to some people that are hurting. And Lord, let them know that there's a way out of this wilderness, and you're going to talk them out of it. I thank you that you're not the mean God that some of us were told, but that you're the God that's long-suffering. Somebody got a cancer diagnosis, let God talk you out of it. Somebody got a job eviction, let God talk you out of it. Somebody failed, let God talk you out of it. Lord, we acclaim your voice for our lives, and we ask you in the name of Jesus, speak to us like you've never spoken before in the name of Jesus. Now begin to praise him, because his presence is how you hear him. Begin to praise him. Lift up your voice. Let's worship him before we get out of this building today. Hallelujah. Come on, sing it, Heather.
Your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Your name cannot be overcome.
I believe that God can do some pretty quick things. But there's some people here today, you can identify with what the word says. You just understand, God's just going to talk you out of this thing. You're just kind of in a low place. Guess what? God's going to talk you out of that thing. Somebody's been thinking about doing something you shouldn't do. The Holy Spirit says, let me talk you out of that thing. Somebody's about to quit on something. God says, let me talk you out of quitting. How many of you have ever had anybody talk you into doing the wrong thing? Look at me. God's going to talk you into doing the right thing. Well, God's going to talk you into doing the right thing. God's going to talk you into doing the right thing. Had some, you know, people ask, how can I know if I'm in God's will? Follow his voice. Because his voice will always lead you to his will. His voice will never lead you out of his will. His voice will lead you out of the will of the devil. But his voice will always lead you to his will. I'm going to tell you, my kids will have this thing in their lives. I can't give them everything that other people give. But I will tell you, this is what my wife and I are going to give them. We're going to give them the voice of God. And never be ashamed of that. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you would. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with God, He walked all through your life to get you to this point to speak to you so that you'll serve Him. He brought you to this meeting, brought you out in the woods, and you can identify that God's been trying to get involved. And you say, all right, now what's the next step? The next step is to confess, to admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus died on the cross for you, and to confess your sins. Confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord. If you're here today, you say, that's me. I need to pray that prayer. When you pray that, raise your hand up nice and high. Just raise your hand up nice and high while nobody's moving. This is a sacred moment. You say, that's me. I need to give my life to Christ today. I need to give my life to Christ today. I don't want this day to go by without me responding to what he's been talking to me for. And that's to serve him. Is there anybody here? Is there anybody here? We give altar calls every week, and I never want to be unfaithful in that. If everybody's saved, I could never be happier. That really, you know, I'm not unhappy when somebody doesn't raise their hand. I'm unhappy if somebody needs to and they don't. And you're here and you're saying, I'll do it when I'm ready. Ready does not exist. Ready is a lie. Because nobody is ready until God helps them. You can't get God's help till you ask him. So when I get ready, now you'll never get there, because that's fantasy. It's not reality. And you say, all right, today, you pray that prayer, preacher. I'm going to pray that prayer with you. Slip your hand up nice and high. Say, that's me. I'll not miss this moment. I'll not miss my time. Is there anybody? All right. All right. Would you get a hold of somebody to pray with? Would you please? And would you ask the Lord to speak to them exactly what they need to hear this week? Would you just begin to pray one for another? Lord, we pray for that person to our right or to our left. And we ask you, Lord, that your voice be dominant in their lives. Not fear, not worry, not anxiety, not regret, not bitterness, not shame, but the Holy Spirit voice. Hallelujah. The voice of God. Lord, whatever they're in, whatever they're attacked by, whatever they're surrounded by, we decree together today in the name of Jesus, it is not stronger than the voice of God. I pray a revival takes place in this church. I pray an outpouring of your spirit of joy, an outpouring of your spirit of confidence, an outpouring of your spirit that people will rise up and say, God has spoken. Thus says the Lord to my life. A father's going to get a word for his family. A mother's going to get a word for the marriage. A young man or young woman's going to get a word for their life. God, you care about who we marry. You care about where we work. You care about how we use our resources. You care about our relationships. You care about our decisions. And Lord, we don't not want to depend on our own intellect, but God, we want to have the wisdom, the unfailing intellect of heaven. Lord, let that invade our lives. Lord, let this Sunday be the Sunday that this church hears your voice like never before. And if you believe God still speaks, clap your hands and thank God for victory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody shout this with me. Talk me out of it. Amen. God bless you. I love you. I'll see you tonight at 5:00. All right.